You know, Eric talked a little bit about pop-up park, right? And so I just want to expand a little bit. So this is going to be happening on July 8th, and that day our service is actually going to start at 4 o'clock. Okay, so it's not going to start at 4:15. We're actually going to have a truncated service from 4 to 5 p.m., and then at 5 p.m. to about 8 or so, we are going to have our pop-up park out in the field. And what this really is you know, you may have seen pop-up parks before, but basically, you know, it's something that really doesn't exist, but then for a temporary amount of time, it exists. And so that field will do some things on the field. We're going to have some like art classes for some of the adults. Eric's going to be making coffee, and there might be some boba, and then we're going to have some kids activities. But it's really a time to invite our friends and also our neighbors, you know, around Mountain View Academy. And so it's an opportunity for people to get to know us, people to just come and kind of check out what this is all about. And so, you know, no strings attached, no obligations. They don't have to come to church. They can show up at the pop-up park. But it's July 8th. But we're also looking for helpers, you know, because we want all of you to be involved. We don't just want, you know, five or six people to be involved. But this is really our community, right? And so we want to be welcoming to everyone who comes. And so outside, there's also going to be some signups. We need some help setting up. So I'm looking at some of the younger men, younger folks, our young adult group. If you can, you know, maybe help us set up. And not just younger men, but anyone who can help us set up. We're going to have some canopies. We're going to have some lawn chairs and everything. And then we're also going to be doing some publicity beforehand. So we're, you know, Eric mentioned about a prayer walk, and we're going to be hanging door hangers around the community probably a week before. So just, you know, as you go out, pick up some of these flyers, be praying about this, and also we'll have some flyers on the dinner table as well. And really, what this really is about is, you know, we don't want to keep New Vine just to ourselves. We really want to share the love of Jesus with those around us. And so we want to use this event to really meet new people, meet new friends, so that they can kind of come and really see what we're all.
I was thinking about today and Father's Day, and, you know, what should I be speaking on? I'm going to speak on fathers, I guess. But, you know, so a little boy was asked to define Father's Day. And he said, well, it's just like Mother's Day, but only you don't spend that much on the present. Right? So it's kind of like, okay, we're honoring our parent, but for Father's Day, we don't have to spend as much. So I don't know of your spending patterns for Father's Day, but I just wanted to start off by taking a look at history. And I don't know how many of you know the history of how Father's Day came about. Does anyone know? Maybe a little bit? Okay, so, you know, like, why is the third Sunday of June deemed as Father's Day? So I kind of did a little research, and I guess back in 1908, on July 5th, there was a church in West Virginia that sponsored the nation's first event explicitly in honor of fathers. And I guess there was a Sunday sermon that was preached at this church, and it was really in the memory of 362 men who had died in the previous December because they were working in a coal company, and there was an explosion in this coal mine in this place called Monongahela. But it was a one-time commemoration because a lot of those men were fathers. And then a year later, in 1909, in May of that year, a lady by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd of Spokane, Washington, not too far from here, or at least on the West Coast, sat in a church listening to a Mother's Day sermon. And she decided that she wanted to designate a day for her dad, since there's a day for mothers. And I guess her mom died at childbirth, and her dad, a Civil War veteran, single-handedly raised her and five other children. So she really felt like just this, I guess, this desire to really honor what her father did. And she went to local churches, the YMCA, shopkeepers, and government officials to really drum up support for this idea. And she was actually successful. So Washington State celebrated the nation's first statewide Father's Day on June 19th in 1910. And then slowly the holiday began to spread. In 1916, President Wilson honored the day by using telegraph signals. Remember the old telegraph? Some of you maybe remember that. I don't think any of our millennials do. But basically, there was a flag that was unfurled in Spokane out on the West Coast when he pressed a button all the way back in Washington, D.C. And then in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge urged state government to observe this thing called Father's Day. And then in 1966, President Lyndon Johnson issued the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers. But it really wasn't until 1972 that President Richard Nixon signed the public law that made it what it is today, that on the third Sunday of every June, it's been designated Father's Day. So that's just a little tidbit of you know, what this day is supposedly all, you know, what's on the calendar, right? But even as we reflect on and think about Father's Day today, or maybe even our fathers, let's not, as Eric mentioned, you know, think about all of those that have kind of still spoken into our lives, that have been a father figure or a mother figure for us. You know, someone who has maybe had a big influence as we were growing up, or even in our own spiritual maturing process. You know, when I was thinking about today, I don't want to just speak to the fathers because, you know, obviously not everyone is a father. I really wanted to make it applicable to all of us. But even as we think and reflect about our own fathers, think about those around you that have also made an influence in your life. You know, for some, today may be a big celebration, or maybe you already celebrated, maybe you will celebrate later. Getting together with extended family, maybe honoring all the dads in your extended family. For others, you know, today might be a day of sadness. Maybe being reminded of a father who's no longer with you physically. And then still for some others, it may actually be a day of pain. You know, being reminded of someone who you wish perhaps would have treated you differently as you were growing up. And I don't know about your particular situation. Maybe you grew up in a relatively healthy family, you know, where your dad was around, and maybe you have a really good relationship with you. I mean, that's so wonderful, right? Maybe you have really fond memories of your dad, fun-loving and perhaps the goofball of the family. You know, he would tell these jokes and he would be the only one laughing at his jokes. Or perhaps maybe your father was absent while you were growing up, or maybe he really wasn't too involved in your life. Maybe he was working so hard to try to support your family as you were growing up. You know, perhaps your father was a typical strict Asian father, a man of few words, and maybe he didn't really affirm you or really speak truth into your life. And maybe even perhaps you have a strained relationship with your father right now, and it's a little painful to think about that situation, particularly today on Father's Day. You know, regardless, I really want to ask you to think about one happy memory that you have with your father, but then also a difficult memory that you might have with your dad. And regardless of where you are at and what emotions you might be facing, you know, on this Father's Day, I really want to turn our eyes from our earthly fathers to really our Heavenly Father. And, you know, it's wonderful to honor the men around us, but really, we really need to take this time to focus on our Heavenly Father and what He has, who He is to us, what He's done for us. And really to thank Him for being a good, good, and faithful Father. You know, when you think of God as our Heavenly Father, what comes to mind when you think of God as Father? Is it, I don't know, a picture of some old grandpa with a white beard with flowing white robes sitting on cloud nine, floating on a cloud? Or is it someone who's stern, someone who's very like, don't do this, you know, don't do that. Someone who is, you know, out to get you or out to punish you for every wrong that you've done. Someone who keeps a record of wrong. You know, of all the ways, actually, that our Lord could have chosen to relate to humanity, he actually chose the language and context of a family. You know, the closest of all human relationships, he chose to describe himself as a father. Think about that. You know, of all the ways that God could have described himself, he could have maybe described himself as maybe like as a benevolent boss, or maybe like a patient landlord, or maybe a distant deity. But instead, he chose the word father. Did you ever think about why God would choose that word, father? You know, no other belief system or religion has that type of relationship, you know, between a father and a child. But our Heavenly Father chose that terminology to say he is our father. You know, he could have easily called us his servants, his slaves, his subordinates. But instead, he chose to call you and me his daughter and his sons. Again, going back to that father-child relationship. You know, we're his precious ones, sons and daughters of the Most High God, sons and daughters of the one who created the universe, that created the heavens and the earth, Almighty God. But yet, we can call him Father. You know, God presents himself as a father because of all we know what a father is and what a father does. You know, even if we don't have earthly fathers, maybe who treated us that well, or were the best kind fathers or whatever. But I think deep inside we have this intrinsic understanding of what a good father should be like. You know, we have a need for each of us to be loved, to be cherished, to be protected, to be valued. And ideally, an earthly father would meet all of those needs. But we all know that our earthly fathers, they're still human. And even the best fathers, there's still going to be something, right, that we're going to complain about, or something that, you know, we're like, oh, I wish my dad would just do this. You know, and I think a lot of times the way we may view our earthly fathers actually affects the way we see and relate to our Heavenly Father. You know, so you think about your own situation. You know, I don't know your own specific situation, but for example, if we've known our dad to be very stern and very silent, perhaps we may think that maybe our Heavenly Father is also very stern or very silent, because that's the only father we've known of, is our own earthly father. Or if our earthly dad has been distant, maybe we think that our Heavenly Father is also distant. You know, we may have a very limited view of our Heavenly Father and the way we relate to him by what we've known and seen in our own earthly fathers. So I really want to encourage you to try to disassociate, you know, how you have viewed your father, your earthly father, from how you view our Heavenly Father. You know, we need to break free from that human understanding, or really, you know, especially if it's a negative view toward, when you think of the word father, maybe the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, I really have, you know, some pain there, or I have a bad relationship. I mean, if it's a negative view, I really want to encourage you to disassociate that with how you view our Heavenly Father. And I think we want to be reminded of who our Heavenly Father actually is. And we really want to look into the scriptures and maybe perhaps rediscover or relearn some of these fatherly attributes. You know, now obviously we really don't have time to go over every fatherly attribute of God, but I wanted to highlight just a few. And I'm going to start in the Old Testament, you know, where in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, if you can help me read this all together, in Isaiah 49:15, Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you. You know, as a father, God doesn't forget about us. You know, even though our earthly fathers or even our mother may forget, God remembers us. He knows us each by name. He knows exactly the things that you have gone through. He doesn't forget. And then the next verse I want to highlight is also from Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 13. Again, it talks about this mother imagery. Let's read it together. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. You know, again, as a parent, as a father, God comforts us. You know, hello? Okay, good. I thought I went out. And in fact, Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, he promised that he would give us the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. You know, so as a believer, we are comforted by him. We don't need to, you know, when we go through a struggle, when we go through a trial, God is there comforting us. You know, from the New Testament, you know, there's a term in the New Testament that I want to bring to your attention. And it's, you know, it's found in a few different places. But the first place we read about, well, that I want to share with you is found in Romans. Romans chapter 8, 15. Let's read this together as well. Romans 8, 15. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. So this phrase, Abba, Father, is really what I kind of want to focus in on a little bit. And then also in Galatians 4, verses 6 through 7, let's read it again. Let's read this together again. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. You know, again, this phrase, Abba, Father. You know, before we knew God, we were slaves. We were slaves to sin. We were in the darkness. We had no hope. But then God adopted us. He brought us into his family. He gave us new life. And now we have the privilege of calling him Abba, Father. You know, we're no longer slaves to that sinful nature. He's adopted us as his sons and daughters into his family. Now, the term Abba is really from an old language in Aramaic. And it's really a word that would most closely be translated that means something like daddy. You know, something that young Jewish children would call their father. They would say, Daddy. It signifies a very close, intimate relationship between a child and his father. But it also signifies this childlike trust that a son or a daughter would place in their Abba, in their daddy. Oh, you know, as you grew up, you may have fond memories of you calling your dad, daddy, and maybe running into his arms or maybe like just feeling that tight embrace, feeling that warmth. You know, this is how we can call God, the creator of heaven and earth. We can call him Abba. We can call him daddy. And this is the type of relationship that we are supposed to have, that there is supposed to be a closeness, an intimacy with God Almighty. You know, in Cantonese, Abba kind of sounds like Abba, right? Or Papa. And for some of you who've been here long enough, you know, my youngest son, Enoch, you may have heard him say, Papa, Papa, you know, like even sometimes here before we had the nursery, when he was joining us for worship, he would kind of like come in and like run out and say, Papa, Papa, and I would be like, shh. But that's kind of like how we are to approach our Heavenly Father with just this like childlike faith, calling our Heavenly Father, Abba, Papa. Like, when was the last time you and I called out to God like that? Or do you really feel that God is so distant that maybe you don't think you can call to him like that? Maybe you feel like why would God treat me like a child? You know, but I want to really encourage you, brothers and sisters, to access that right. As a son, as a daughter of God, you have that access to call him Papa or Abba or Daddy. You know, we really need to practice that intimacy with him. You know, no qualms, right? Just call him Abba. Just say, hey, Daddy, I just want to sit in your lap. I just want to rest in your arms. I just want to feel the warmth of your embrace. I just want to enjoy your presence. When was the last time that you were able to come into that close relationship with the Abba Father? You know, this is also, what's interesting is, this is also the exact term that Jesus used in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before his crucifixion on the cross. You know, he basically said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. Did you realize that even Jesus himself called his Father Abba? But we also, it's the same thing. It's the same wording. We can call God Abba Father, just like Jesus called God his Abba Father. I mean, think about that for a moment. It's like, wow, that's such a privilege. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, God's one and only Son, called his Father God Abba Father. But yet, as his sons and daughters, as God's sons and daughters who are adopted in his family, we can also call him Abba Father. So I really want to encourage you that just like Jesus called out to Abba Father, that we make it a practice to call out to Abba Father. That you have that full right, you have that full authority as his son, as his daughter, as his child. You can call him Daddy. You can run into his arms, hop into his lap, and just let him embrace you. Let him hold you. There's no shame. There's no fear. He's not out to get you. He's not out to, I don't know, spank you. God is our personal Abba. He's our Heavenly Father. And I just want to encourage you and bless you to really access that, that inheritance that we have as his people, as his children. And then the other thing that I want to, it's not on the screen, but I really want to point your attention to is really something from Luke chapter 15. I mean, it's the story of the prodigal son. I mean, I think it's probably the most vivid example of God as the ultimate father in this parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15, 11 to 32. You know, it's a very familiar passage to a lot of us. If you were here last year, Pastor Ted also preached from this passage. And I think a lot of you know it, but I'm just going to summarize it up in a nutshell, right? So there were two, this father had two sons, an older son, a younger son. The younger son asked the dad for his share of the inheritance. I mean, his dad's still alive, but he had the audacity. He had I guess audacity is the only word I can think of, to say, hey, Dad, I want my share of the inheritance. And usually, again, the inheritance is split after the dad passes away, right? So it's as if it's saying, as if he's saying, hey, Dad, I wish you were dead so I can get my share of the inheritance. But surprisingly, the father actually grants the younger son's wishes, right? And he gives him his inheritance. And then we read in Luke 15 that basically he takes all the money, he goes into a distant land, he squanders the money, he lives a wild life with prostitutes, whatever, and he runs out of money. And then there's a famine in the land, right? He's hungry, he has no more money, and then he finds himself working for a guy who has hired him to feed pigs, right? And he's thinking, man, these pigs have so much more food to eat than I do as a human being. And then the parable talks about him coming to his senses and realizing that the servants that his dad had back at home had so much more food than these pigs did. And he was like, well, maybe I can go back to my father. Maybe I can go back and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven and earth, and apologize. You know, would you accept me back but not as even a son, but as a slave. Like, he was willing to be a slave. He even said that he was no longer worthy to be called his son, but just hire me back as a slave, right? And it, you know, what's so special about this story is, you know, and of course the son goes back home, and then it talks about the dad seeing the son from a distance. And then the dad seeing his son, recognizing his son from a distance, and running towards his son. Now, what's interesting is that I was reading, and back in the day, I guess in the Jewish culture, it said that men didn't really run. So it was very odd that this father actually ran towards the son. And then last time, Pastor Ted also said that, you know, because the Jewish community was so tight-knit, that a lot of people were probably thinking, you know, hey, this son really disrespected you. And they had this whole honor thing where I think the dad was probably afraid maybe that these people in the community would see the son and start to kind of go out in a mob scene and kind of attack the son for being disrespectful. So Pastor Ted was saying that maybe the dad was running to protect the son and not really wanting the mob to get to him. But regardless, you see this father looking, waiting for the son to return. And the first thing he does is he embraces him. He kisses him. And even before the son could full out say his full confession, you know, he only said, like, what you know, we read, he doesn't even let him finish his sentence, right? You know, he asks for the father's forgiveness. He says he's no longer worthy to be called a son. But he doesn't even get to the point of, can I be your slave? The dad already embraces him. And then what does the dad do? He says, hey, he calls the servants. He said, bring the best robe, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his sandals on his feet, and kill the fattened calf. I mean, the dad is so happy to see the son return. No question, no lecture. He unconditionally forgives this younger son and accepts him back. Not as a slave, but as a son. He restores to him that sonship. He says, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now is found. You see the unconditional love of the father in this story. And this is how our Abba Father is with us. You know, even before we knew the Lord himself, you know, he was looking, he was longing for us to come to him. He was waiting for us to embrace. He was waiting for us, you know, sometimes when we even now, sometimes when we go off and want to do our own thing, when we want to ask for whatever inheritance or squander off whatever money, he is waiting for us, longing for us to come back into his arms. This is the unconditional love of Abba, Father. He receives us with these open arms, no questions asked. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, that's just, I don't know. I feel like as a father, I keep a record of wrong, of what my kids do or don't do, right? You know, I sometimes threaten to spank him. In Cantonese, I say, "Dalalo." So I term it DLL. Like, if you don't behave, I'm going to DLL you. You know, or like, you know, if wait till I get home, I'm going to spank you. Or I remind them all the things that they've done wrong, right? Our God is not like that. Our Abba Father is not punitive like that. You know, this is the God that we believe in. This is the Abba that we have. And then another passage of scripture is found in Psalm 68. And this is the last passage that I want to go through. Psalm 68, 4-5, verses 4-5. Let's all read this together. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. And it talks about God being a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. You know, God is in his holy dwelling, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. This verse really means a lot to me because, this is where I kind of want to share with you my own story. As some of you know, I was born in Vietnam, and I was born during the wartime. And a few months after I was born, my dad actually passed away. And so I never really knew an earthly father growing up. And I share this with you not so that it's a sob story or not so that you can feel sorry for me, but I share this with you as a testimony that this verse that we just read, a father to the fatherless, is true. And I'm here standing here today able to testify that he is indeed a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. You know, we came over in 1975, right before the fall of Saigon, and it was my mom and myself, her parents, and my aunt, and we came over as refugees. We were on welfare, food stamps, you name it, government assistance, but God is so good, even though I didn't have an earthly father. You know, we were never in want. You know, sure, we weren't the wealthiest. Sure, we lived, in apartments at first and then, moved into a house and whatnot. You know, sometimes my mom worked two jobs. Sometimes my relatives would kind of give us money or whatever. But you know what? God was always faithful. We were never in lack. We were never in want. There was always food on the table. I would see how my mom worked so hard, to support me and to put me through, a private education in high school and stuff. But God is so faithful. And I could go on and on about how good of a God he is and how faithful he has been in my life. And some of you have heard me share about some of these stories. But I really want to encourage you that God is a father to the fatherless indeed, to those who are widows. You know, God is that compassionate God. You know, no matter what you are going through, no matter what comes your way as you go through life, no matter if it's disease, no matter if it's death, no matter if it's suffering, if it's pain, God is faithful. And I want you to really think about God's faithfulness in your own life. I reflect upon my own life and sure, I wish I had a dad, right? I wish I knew my dad. I wish I grew up with him. But you know what God blessed me with as I was growing up is a very wonderful church community. From our San Jose church. Some of you sitting here, were my uncles and aunties who taught me Sunday school. I had a whole bunch of friends, even though I didn't have any siblings, that I grew up with, And these older uncles and aunties, they were my father and mother figures as well, right? So this is really what God's community is really all about, that all of you are part of this intricate family of God that he has intended for us as we go through life together. Every high, every low, especially during family time, when you hear of these things, these real life struggles or these real life joys that we all share and that we all experience, this is the family that God has called us to. But this verse doesn't just apply to those who are physically without a father or to those who are widowed. This verse also applies to those who do not know Abba Father as their heavenly father. This verse also applies to those in your lives and in my life, to those in this community that have no knowledge that Abba is their heavenly father. This verse also applies to them because they also are fatherless. So it's really my prayer today, New Vine family, that you would know the heart of Abba, but that you would also know that God doesn't want us just to be comfortable with ourselves here at New Vine. That some things like this, these are wonderful opportunities for others to know the love of the Father, for others to know that they don't have to be fatherless, that they can have a God, they can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe, that they can have a personal encounter with the one who created the heavens and the earth, that that relationship can be so intimate that they can say, Abba, Father, Daddy, that they can come back and he can embrace them, that they can return to the heart of the Father. So I really want to encourage you, my New Vine brothers and sisters, that even on this Father's Day, you know, it's not about us, but it's really about our Heavenly Father. You know, that it's really about Abba wanting no one to be fatherless, wanting no one to not know the love of the Father, wanting no one to not experience what Jesus has done by his death on the cross, by the blood that was spilled, by his body that was pierced. That we could all have this new life, that we could all walk in hope and not walk in hopelessness. I want to invite the worship team to come back up as we close. You know, as we you know, sing this last song, I just really want to invite you to not only think about your own Father, but to also reflect on the Heavenly Father, to also reflect on Abba, to reflect on his faithfulness in your own life. And even as we worship, you know, to really come before God and be thankful. You know, to really say, God, I'm so thankful that you are my Abba, that you are my faithful one, that you are the Father to me. So I want to invite you all to stand as we close with this song.